listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Chronically Automated, the podcast where we talk about, you know, neurodiversity in the workplace. What do we say? Smart systems for messy realities, something like that. That's our intro. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco.
It's been a few weeks, so forgive me if I'm a little, I don't know, jaded? Jaded's not the right word. I'm a little out of it. Yeah. So it's been a few weeks. Can you believe it's been 20 episodes? 20.
I mean, I was looking that's an amazing video that we had. And
yeah,
you know, it was so great. And I love the fact of that one time when I tried to talk and interrupt you and stuff, and then you kept talking. I was like, ooh, that was my favorite part.
I can't believe it's been 20 episodes. It's kind of just flying by. And it's funny because it's been a few weeks since we recorded. So now I'm kind of like, oh, yeah. When you said it earlier, hey, we're recording today. And I was like, well, yeah, we are. Oops. You forget.
She did not say that. Anyway. She was like, yes, I can't wait.
Yeah. Yes. It's today. Today's the day. Something like that. But this is a really good topic for us to kind of start our recording again. We obviously use AI to ideate for us based on past episodes and stuff like that. It just helps us get there a little faster. But we never use it to write these episodes. These episodes are always conversational and we don't script them or anything like that. But this one is why your brain is a supercomputer, but the world keeps giving you floppy disks. So it's a little fluffy, the name, but it works for us.
I love it. It absolutely. I can relate to that 100%.
We as neurodivergent people, whether you're a business owner or not, whether you're working for somebody else or not, we're all overstimulated, right? There's so much information. High input, high processing. We are not struggling because we're slow humans, which is often what we get mistaken for. You guys have all heard my backstory about high school, where it was the teacher saying, she's so incredibly smart. She tests so well, but I don't understand why, you know, she's just struggling. I wasn't struggling because I wasn't smart or I was slow. I was struggling because the world around us is not designed for us. It's not designed for minds who are going 10,000 miles an hour all the time, thinking about all the things. It's designed for people who can pay attention to one thing at a time. It's designed to go step by step. And that's not the way we work. So in this episode, we want to talk about cognitive complexity, because I feel like it's more and more common than people think, and maybe offer up some practical guidance and systems that can help your brains keep up. Does that sound like a good conversation?
Or slow down a little bit.
Or slow down.
Try and normalize, even though it's kind of moving around and everything like that. Just try and normalize things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's been... And that is something I've always struggled with, especially in sales, when it's so important to, you know, be able to communicate in a very simple way, where all of a sudden you're, you know, trying to do that when things are kind of moving around a lot. And sometimes, you know, you're like, I don't understand how you don't understand what I'm saying, you know, and that's never a good thing to... Never a good place to be when you're in sales. However, there is some logic to it, and there is some truth to it as well, right? I mean, but at the end of the day, if people don't, you know, constantly understand what you're saying or you're trying to convey, yeah, that's kind of a problem.
It's lost. Yeah. So most productivity tools and linear tools, as I call them, which is like your traditional to-do list and even traditional CRMs, they're designed to reduce thought complexity and not support it, right? So we always talk about simple automations, that kind of stuff is better. But simple doesn't mean removing the thought complexity. And people think that when you're stripping away the layers to make it the process simpler, that you're stripping away, you're not trying to strip away the thought complexity and what goes behind making those decisions. If that makes sense. It's crazy to think about it this way, but simplifying the steps doesn't mean simplifying the thought behind why you chose to put those steps there.
But let me ask you a question, Megan. I mean, you are somebody also that takes very complex ideas and makes them simple to people. So communication for you, even though you're technically not sales on the front line, you are constantly, talking to people and explaining how things work. How do you then, have to kick yourself and slow your mind down in order to get locked in? Or how do you do that?
That's a great question. So I had to really step back, right? When you understand your brain as a high performer, like a high performance system, right? Like your brain, everyone's brain, that's your main number one system, right? We talk about systems and processes and technology and AI and all the things. Your brain is the number one system. So my brain's never going to slow down. So I use a lot of, honestly, vitamins, frou-frou stuff. I use focus patches. I use vitamins, which have extra vitamin D and magnesium and all of these different strength vitamins that are there to trigger the dopamine. Because when I'm happy and the dopamine is flowing, and I know we talked about this before, when that dopamine kicks in, I'm able to focus better because I'm happy. If there's a lack of dopamine, it's a lot harder for me to focus on the different things that I need to focus on. So the other thing is, and I know I've probably said it during these episodes, or if you've heard me speak for more than 5 seconds, you've heard me say this before. One customer, one project, one task. One. Power of one, okay? Multitasking is not an actual thing. I know that people think that because you're ADHD or you're neurodiverse or you're autistic or whatever the thing may be, that, you must be a really great multitasker. No one's a really great multitasker. It ruins your mental RAM and your storage memory, okay? It takes at least 15 minutes scientifically for your brain to refocus back on the thing that you were on. So if you're jumping from thing to thing to thing to thing, you're not actually accomplishing anything. You might get something done, but it's going to take you that much longer. You can train your brain, ask away.
So as running a bunch of, different revenue streams, clients, but the commonality between everything is how I am going to market, how I am executing on the sales side, right? And a lot of that is cold calling. A lot of that is, LinkedIn, reaching out. That's the commonality between them. So, a platform like DMC enables me to go from, let's say, calling people from DMC, and then let's say going to LoboSack, or then going to something else where, although it's different in nature, the commonality is still the same in terms of the motion. And
You're talking about switching between your customers, right?
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. I mean, because I have scripts, and again, it comes back down to, I'm so big on choreography. I do these now I've gotten down, and Megan, I know you've been away and stuff, but I wake up early now. I wake up at 5 and now I'm in my desk at 7. I'm doing all these things. I have my alarm. It's kind of annoying. Goes off every 30 minutes. So whatever task I'm doing, I move to the next one. And I unfortunately don't really take too many breaks, but I don't want to. I'm so pumped up to actually do these things. It's unbelievable. But that's, I personally don't find it hard to navigate in between these different motions. I mean, why is that? Why is that considered multitasking? I don't think it is, but
no.
How would you define that?
No, because you're technically finishing one task until it's done. I mean, it's a version of the what's the thing I was talking about? Every 25 minutes,
That's
the P. Anyway.
Whatever that is, I don't do it, but I know you
but
do
that's
it.
A version, but you right? are doing a version of it. The Pomodoro method. Pomodoro. That's exactly what you're doing a version of it. The difference is you're just not taking the break after the 30 minutes. So the reason that the Pomodoro method works is because you're still giving yourself task time. It's 30 minutes, then your alarms, and then you're able to move on. So you're training your brain for 30 minutes. You're only working on one client, one task, one project, right? You're only working on the one thing
locked
at a time.
In. That's it.
And then you're right. And then you move on to the next locked in thing. And then you moved on to the next thing. So that's still one task. It's still one, you know, one thing. It's not multitasking because you're not going back and forth between DMC and Lobo and DMC and Lobo, like every, you know, whatever, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 2 minutes. It's not
so
bouncing back and forth.
If you as the listener, the viewer can relate to this, you're okay. That's those half hour sprints, let's say without the break or, you know, whatever it is, I guess, you know, inadvertently, I am training my mind to go from task to task, but that's...
I do personally still recommend the break, and here's why. I'll just tell you why. Because if you do the 30 minutes, and then you even... we're not talking... And when Anthony's talking about breaks, I'm not talking long breaks. We're talking 5 minutes. Literally, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you get more coffee, you come back to your desk, you start the timer on the next tasks. But
okay.
Just that little smidge of, and it doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 3 minutes, you know? But just that little smidge where you leave your desk, you've worked on a task for 30 minutes, you leave your desk, and you come back, it's like your brain refocuses on the new thing. Because if you're going from one to one to one to one, they're still risking the possibility of the thought process from the other one, other task, the other process, the other whatever it was, kind of, because you're still thinking about it, right? Because that timer is not necessarily going to erase it from your brain. But standing up out of your chair and walking away for 2 minutes will. Go get a drink of water. Go check the mail. I don't care. Get up from your desk, walk away for 2 minutes, come back, restart the timer on the new task. You'll find your brain has just, like, the other task is just gone. Like, now this is your new task and you know what you have to focus on. It's very crazy how that happens. So that's my only reason for taking a break. It's because my brain will, unless I completely close out of the thing that I was working on and, you know, like completely close it all down and then completely open something else, it's going to take me a little bit. It's going to be kind of jumbled. I'm not going to be able to just go straight from this to that. It just doesn't work that way. It's because if there's ever anything that I'm waiting on or if I'm, you know, waiting on something, or if there's something that's left undone, or if there's something like that, I'm still going to think about that. So I have to like break myself from
right.
one task to the next.
Makes sense.
Some people don't, and maybe you don't. You know what? Maybe the timer is enough, and you know, okay, yep, I'm going to close that down. This is also why I work in browsers. So I have Google browsers open, and for everything, right? So there's brand build, and then there's DMC, and then there's my personal, and then there's the unicorns, and then there's Lobo, and then I have my clients that I'm building stuff for. Each one of these
he's got a Lobo.
It's specifically for that. And so this, what I can do is I literally can just minimize it and it's gone.
Got it.
Minimize it and it's gone. So when I'm working on brand build, it's in the brand build Google browser. when it's working in this, I'm working in this browser. And so it's all the same browser. It's just set up and organized by clients, which
These are such amazing tips that, you know, if you're watching this, listening to it, I mean, for you, for me, for everyone, it's these little things really make the difference. And maybe you do know this, but it's just logic. But when you're running so fast, your mind is always is running so fast too. So you don't want that. You don't want the mind to spill over to lots of things. Then the next thing you know, you get a phone call and then you're kind of all over the place and things like that too. So, you know, I'll let you continue with your advice.
Well, no, but it's just the other thing. The other thing too is when you get to the point where you can hire a person to help, anybody, any of you that are listening, and you're looking at like assistants or VAs or what you need is a project manager. Those are the best hires. I'm going to tell you right now, yes, this person can still, maybe their duties will overlap and it will be, they manage your calendar, they manage all of that stuff, right? Like all the normal, like executive assistants. So this is why I hate, don't just hire a virtual assistant. You need to hire an executive assistant and somebody who can project manage for you. Because once you eliminate the management of all the different tasks and projects on your brain, once that's gone, it's amazing how much more you're going to get done. If I don't have to focus on and figure out all of the shit today, it's great. So have a project board, and it can be super simple with all the tasks and all the clients, which we do, right? Like there's project boards. And you have a master project board. You can filter it by customer, filter it by if you're service-based, obviously. And you have somebody that watches that, and that is their job. And it feels weird because as the owner and founder, right, you're the boss, right? So you should be running the show. Nope, my team runs my brain and what I'm supposed to be working on. We have goals, and the goals are based on, you know, what Darren and Nat and I decide, like, obviously. We steer the ship, but as far as managing all of the individual detailed tasks, the team, we have somebody on the team that does that, and they check in with us every week to make sure that we're on task. Because we as owners and founders and ideaists and creative strategists and people who are growth strategists, that is, I'm going to tell you right now, generally, that's not what we're good at. We are not good at wrangling all the tasks together and, you know, managing and all the tasks and figuring out if they're on track. Like, that's not going to be me ever. Now, I can manage what I work on in a day, knowing that these are the tasks that I have to get done for this week from our project board. And I have little sticky notes. I literally have a sticky note. I'm not even kidding you. On my desk every day. That has 1, 2, 3. Those are the three big things that have to get done today. And I have three, and that's it.
So what if people are not as organized and having a process like you do and are, you know, neurodiverse and, you know, are struggling with, you know, just struggling?
You can do this so easily. You can use, first of all, if you have to start with sticky notes, start with sticky notes. Use Google Task Manager or the Google Tasks in your Gmail right there on the side. Create all the tasks. The hardest part is you have to have some goals for the year. Now, again, I use the power of three when it comes to goals. You have three goals. You have a revenue goal, you have a lifestyle goal, and you have a customer goal, like a customer service type of goal. And that's it. And those are your three big goals for the year. They should really all be lifestyle based, but those are your three big goals for the year. Everything that you do, everything that you work on every month, every week, every day leads back to those three goals. If it doesn't somehow support one of those three goals, you should not be working on it. Plain and simple. So if you can think about it, you know, people have such complex lists, like they have 5, 10, 15 things on their list. No, three goals for the year, three goals for every month, three goals for the week, three goals for the day. And then remember the power of one, because that's your one project, one client, one task. You work one task at a time to meet the one goal. Another task at a time to get the... So everybody is so worried about adding all of this stuff to their plate, right? And I'll tell you right now, our DMC growth strategy is insane. Like, it's this complex document that's like a bazillion pages long. And when you look at the document itself, you're like, are you insane? But when you boil it all down to how it's being executed, three tasks a day.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, Anthony calls me up and has things that are broken. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm so joking. But it's true. But that also frees up.
Right.
That also frees up my space and time to help. I mean, at the end of the day, customers, right? Like, your current customers are more important than getting new customers, which obviously we all want to get new customers so that we can get more money. But if you screw over your current customers and the people that are paying you and the people that are working with you right now, that's not going to help you, because they're going to go out into the world and have nothing nice to say, right? Retention, yep. People. Retention.
Wow, those are amazing. I know I've heard things this over and over again, and sometimes it takes a lot, many times to, you know, for it to resonate. And plus, until you're actually doing it, and then it actually does, you're like, wow, I'm doing this inadvertently. But still, these are amazing tips. And you're right. I mean, if you're not doing these things and they're just, you know, it's just like anything else, right? If you have a messy closet sometimes, or a messy house, saying that for everyone, right? But a lot of people, it kind of goes with them, right? So that's their frame of mind.
I'm going to take it a step further for you, because I feel like this will help people. So when you think of your brain, it's a processor, right? Like your computer and all of this stuff. It's a processor. Your brain is a processor. It's processing how you think. So let's break it down by the different types of brain, like processors, if you will, different types of thinkers. Because you have a surge thinker, a lightning thinker, the spider web, and then like a quantum.
Wow. I did not.
So here you go. So think about it this way. So a surge thinker is somebody who thinks in bursts and crashes, right? Like, so their tools to help them are like energy-based calendars or low effort automations, right? Like things that help their bursts of energy. And they're first. So when you're thinking about what do you use to help this person, you need to give them things that are giving them that burst of dopamine, like we were talking about, right? Lightning thinkers are they think hyper fast, like really quick on their feet, but they also burn out a lot because they're moving so quickly and they're hyper fast to get there. They're doing more than the rest of us in this world. 5-minute timers, audio to text capture. So that's me, right? Like, I'm a hyper fast thinker. I'm always, Anthony's said this many times, I'm like 25 steps ahead because I've already thought of that. And now I'm on to the next thing. And now I'm on to the next thing. And now I'm on to the next thing. So that's why I use those 30 minutes, get up and walk away, come back. I use a lot of audio to text. I use audio to text for AI. I use audio to text to schedule. Audio to text for everything, because I'm like, walking around talking to my, I must look like a crazy person. People probably, I do it when I'm driving. I'm like audio to text, everything that's in my brain. Got to get it down. Spiderweb thinkers, they are rational and associative, right? So like mind maps, those people that really likes to use mind maps because they are very rational and they're very good at associating things and piecing them together. Right? The quantum thinkers are their leaps ahead. So I think I'm probably in between lightning and quantum, like I'm like, or both of them, because quantum thinkers are usually leaps ahead and they work backwards, which is something that I do on a regular basis every damn day. It's also why I like visual boards and SOPs and reverse engineering. And when I say visual boards, my visual boards are like these process maps that are like this big. And then you've got sales and you've got marketing, and you've got onboarding, you've got payments and processing, and you've got these big maps and how it all connects together. Love them. Talk about a super nerd.
Is anyone else exhausted by hearing all this right now, because I am.
Right?
Holy cow, my head hurts just by listening to you.
We'll have to take that, like, the brain processing, like, different types of thinkers and put it into the show notes so people can see it. It's better. I mean, it's the same thing as those brain quizzes. Now I can't think of the name. What's that one big brain quiz that, like, corporate America always gives to everyone, and you're either an A, B, C, or D, like, it's a little,
oh,
like...
Yeah, I took that in college, too. I forget what it is.
I mean, everyone, it's the same thing. It's the, because they're trying to figure out how you think, how you learn, how you interact with other people. That's what they're doing. So they're grouping you into these buckets of, you know, of how you think and how you interact. They've been doing it for years, right? People have been monitoring your brain to figure out how you think for years. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing to see how people work and how they don't work, how they work together and how they don't work together.
But holy cow, I mean, I've learned so much, you know, just from this conversation and, you know, how, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, each of us, you're right. We each have a different brain, a different mindset, a different way that we are analyzing things, that we are processing things. And some of us, we process things in a way that, you know, are maybe not as, well, I guess everyone is different, right? I mean, everyone's not normal, you know, in a sense, right? And I don't think that's the issue here, but, you know, with people that are neurodiverse, I mean, there are some commonalities between all of us that you certainly have some challenges, but you also have some really great things as well. And, you know, to your point, what I came out of this with this conversation is that if you're able to harness that and you're able then to apply a lot of the things that you said, whether it's, you know, just not multitasking and, you know, whatever it is, I think you're going to be, you know, in pretty good shape. And it really, what it comes down to, Megan, all the time, what do we say? You're not building for you, you're building around your health, you know, a lot of times. So.
Yes, absolutely. You're not building in spite of it. Yeah, exactly. The biggest thing is figuring out how you think. Like, if you haven't taken any of those tests that are out there, you absolutely should. And I know that they're weird and they're awkward and they take a bunch of time, but it's really cool to see the outcome of some of those tests and really understand how you best learn and think. And some of them, like I said, will give you tips on how to interact with other people who are not like you. And 98% of us are all a mixture of usually at least two of these things. So like my little thinker ones that I gave you earlier, that quantum thinker, spiderweb, lightning, and surge, that's just my, you know, my language for these things. But the other tests have those four buckets as well. And normally we're all, I shouldn't say normal because none of us are normal. What is normal? We're all usually a mixture of multiples, right? Like it's rare to find somebody who's only in one bucket. At least I haven't really found anybody yet who only fits in one bucket. Usually people fit in multiples.
Wow. We're kind of getting philosophical over here, Megan.
We are. We're getting philosophical. Look at us.
I love it.
Oh boy. That's your homework for the week, people. I'm trying to find my mouse. There it is. Okay. That is your homework for the week to go out and really think about how you think. And when you're looking at systems and processes, even if you're a solo entrepreneur and it's just you, and you're thinking about where you're stressed out in all of the different parts of your business, this could be why. It could be because you're not leaning into your strengths and, you know, leaning into things that maybe you're not, or you're working on stuff that doesn't really matter. I mean, there's a whole mess of things, but a lot of it is because you're not working to the best of your ability because you're not using how your brain works, right?
And you just need to take a deep breath and you need to realize that it is something that can be resolved and everything. And, you know, that's just understanding that there are ways around that, and there are ways to, you know, make it easier for you.
The other, you know, the other, and before we sign off, I know we're coming up on time here. Well, I guess we have a few more minutes, but the other way is to hire a coach. I know it sounds cliche and it sounds, but you know what? Even if you have a coach, like an executive leadership coach or a business coach that is just there to talk to and run ideas by, and a lot of the really good ones are going to have some sort of quiz that will get you to this type of like how you think and how, because that's real, the really, really good coaches out there, that's how they run their business. And that's why they're so successful, is because they are able to tell you or understand the type of thinker that you are, the type of mindset that you have, and then help you reverse engineer and figure out how you can build your business using that type of thinking, right? And if you can figure that out, you are spot on golden. That's all I got.
What else do we have? Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's fun. We have a lot of really fun, interesting conversations. So I hope this one resonated with everybody. We did get a little philosophical, but it still relates back to all of the things that we talk about, right? Your health is the most important part of your existence. If you don't have your health, you can't have anything
really
else. And what's better than figuring out your brain? Your brain is part of your health. If your brain is healthy and it's being used correctly, and you can figure out what kind of thinker you are, you know, I mean, you know, it's weird, but you can figure out the vitamins it needs. You can figure out the tools and the processes inside your business that you can use to play to its strengths. It's definitely worth figuring out what kind of thinker you are and what kind of thinker you, what makes you stronger.
It's amazing. Phenomenal. And by the way, these are improv. These are completely improv. We should go on tour, Megan.
We should go on tour. Do you think that we could get Jasmine Alik to rap for us? I've been trying for years. Did you know? For anybody who doesn't know, we have this thing that we do. It's called LinkedIn, because we're all kind of obsessed. And Jasmine Alik, one of my favorite guys on LinkedIn, he used to be a rapper. And I actually took the time to like go find out, because I, you know, for any of those of you who don't know that I'm into old school hip hop and stuff like that, I went and like searched YouTube and like found some of his old videos. And he's amazing. So if we go on tour, we have to figure out some way. He doesn't do it anymore. He's no longer a rapper, but it would be so fun if I could figure out how to bribe him to do it. Anyway, Jasmine, hi. You're probably not going to listen to this episode, but maybe I'll send it to you anyway. All right, everybody. We have to be done, because apparently I'm going off on tangents now. So if you are neurodiverse, if you're an entrepreneur, you are a founder, and you are just looking for ways to get through the day, you're looking for ways to help you grow your business successfully with kind of the neurodivergent brain, or maybe not being square peg round hole, whatever, this podcast is for you. And that's all we got. And remember, technology, automation, AI, systems, tools, it's all only good when it works. And hopefully we're helping you make them work better. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Listen up, y'all. It's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.